Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. I would like to welcome you to Garden of Enlightenment with Lu Yu Wild Dove. Today, we will be doing a special program for one of our very own that we've lost, Evangeline. That's what she is known as on Late Night Poet. And I put up some contests, but they're not contests for winning medals. This was, you have no choice, you have to get medals, but we wanted to put up a contest, pieces for this wonderful, amazing poet. You're going to be missed, and you're admired and loved by many. And the most wonderful things I've heard about the encouragement that you've given young poets, and I want to thank you for that. And I would like to read a poem that Wanda put up, and this was written by Stephen Spencer, I think continually of those who were truly great. I think continually of those who were truly great, who from the womb remembered the soul's history through quarters of light where the hours are suns, endless and singing, whose lovely ambition was that their lips still touched with fire should tell of the spirit clothed from head to foot in song, and who hoarded from the spring branches the desires falling across their bodies like blossoms. What is precious is never to forget the essential delight of the blood drawn from ageless springs, breaking through rocks in the world before our earth, never to deny its pleasures in the morning's simple light, nor its grave evening's demand for love, never to allow gradually the traffic to smother with noise and fog the flowering of the spirit. Near the snow, near the sun, in the highest fields, see how these names are fisted by the waving grass and by the streamers of white cloud and whispers of wind in listening sky, the names of those who in their lives fought for life, who were at their hearts the fire center, born of the sun, they traveled a short while towards the sun and left the vivid air signed with their honor. What we're going to do is, in honor of her, all those people who wrote beautiful tributes, we will be reading them, and then also we will get in about 2 to 3 comments so we can make sure everybody can share in this and enjoy and listen to all the poems that were written in tribute for her. So let's go ahead and look at the phone line. And here we go.
Well, we got lots, Lulia.
Okay. Katie?
Hello, my darling.
Hello, Katie. How are you this evening?
I'm wonderful. Thank you. And thank you very much for inviting me to this lovely event. It's really nice. Thank you.
You're welcome. And we have caller 559. Who am I speaking with?
Hey, everybody. This is Jeremy. We all know that Banjo is kicking dirt and spitting in our eye for putting the show together, but I wouldn't want to be anywhere else.
I agree. She was feisty. Thank you, Jeremy, and welcome. And I'm going to continue to pick up callers. We have caller 585. Who am I speaking with? Okay, well, as soon as I can get the button to move, there we go.
Hello,
585, who am I speaking with?
Hello,
hi, Laurent. Welcome, welcome to the show. So happy to have you. And
pleasure
we have 778. Welcome, welcome. And we're happy to have you. 778, who am I speaking with?
Hello to you, Wild Dove. This is Gray Eye Smith.
Hi, Gray.
How's
welcome, welcome.
Voice? Weaver, Bill,
yeah, lots of people. Caller 707, who am I speaking with?
This is Irish Rose.
Hi, Irish Rose. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And we have another caller. Caller 727, who are we speaking with?
This is a Gress man.
Hi, Gress. How are you doing?
Hey, good.
Welcome, welcome, everybody. So let's go ahead. Katie, start at the top of the list, and we will go ahead and start reading all the tributes to Banjo.
All right, first one we have is Memories by Jerazul. And
you need to refresh your page. Yeah, the next one should be Agrisman. I don't know what happened with that.
Okay, I may be looking at the wrong one. Oh, Agrisman, he's calling. Oh yes, that's him.
Yes, he's online.
Oh my goodness, I thought it was Grassman. I do apologize. All right, I'll get this one.
Oh, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay. There we have it. Say it ain't
there
so
we go. Grass. Thank you.
Okay. I'm up first, huh? Well, first
yes,
I want to
sir.
Say that. I want to say that first of all, Banjolin. Inspired like probably about 8 or 9 of my writes, you know, all the in total, and she always made me smile when she commented on my poems, because she would just like go a different direction and just be delightful, and just she gave me such inspiration. So I just want to say that first. So I kind of wrote one in the style of hers. I hopefully it does her justice. So it's called "Say It Ain't So, Banjo." As chimes jangle and the blue glass clings. Shangri-La opens and the wind seeks answers and the mountain swallow gulps the blocks. The blue glass clangs at 4 p.m. happy hour variations with small smiles sipping on the loneliness chimes. A willow lays down, swirling the grass with gut punches and body blows that send cotton-like balls to dizzying heights to be rooted in the next spring. Each thought aches entirely of drum beats and lay guilty on hearts spoken softly through bumblebee wing vibes. 26 letters can't spell hurt the way it really feels. No picture displayed as the true purple bruises that lay beneath. Who will bend the lines of wit into our conundrum of perfect scat with a sardonic twist? Doobie doobie doo, la la la. The box on the fridge. with the love you magnet.
Oh, Grass, this is beautifully penned for her. I could hear your emotions as you were reading this, and I thought what I liked was when you read the stanza, because it reminded me so much of her. And, you know, the way that she would comment in poems, I used to get a big kick out of that. She also inspired me to write many of my poems. I do love metaphors. And here I thought you just caught her. Who will bend the lines of wit into a conundrum of perfect scut with a sardonic twist, a doobie-doobie-doo-la-la-la. I could just see her just smiling at that.
Yeah.
And let's get you some yeah. And Katie, what did you think about Grass's poem?
Oh, I thought it was really lovely, beautifully written, and obviously such a lovely compliment to the lady that you're thinking about. It's very difficult not to get upset, obviously, but it means a lot. It means that you care. So I thought it was absolutely beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you, Katie. And Jeremy, would you like to please make a comment on Grass's poem?
I'm with you, Katie. I'm going to do my best to try to keep it together with my comments. Yeah, beautiful poem, Grassman. And what's really cool about this community is I never met Banjo, right? I never got to shake her hand or give her a hug, but I was very close with her through the site. And the fact that she inspired you, Grassman, to write a poem, to write several poems, is what this community is really all about. And I felt stronger with my connections even after this loss of her, because it realizes how much we touch each other. And so I commend you on this, because it absolutely has her spirit. And what I loved a lot about her is she would write stuff, and then the thing I would give her the most shit about is she would delete it every time. I would write these killer comments to her poems like this, and then she would delete the whole poem. And that was when she would let you in a little bit too much. And I see the playfulness of Agersman and what you did in this one, and then a lot of what she did with her poems. She would let you in, but then if you got in too much, it made her a little bit nervous. It made her a little bit apprehensive. But those glimpses in which, as a community of AP, we'll need a minute, sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, Jeremy. Thank you. Laurent, would you like to make a comment on Agersman's poem?
Certainly. It's good to hear your voice, Agersman, and good to read your poetry. It's obvious to me from the way you wrote this that you knew her, and of course you said that. And she inspired much in you, including this poem. That one stanza that says, "A willow lays down, swirling in the grasp of gut punches and body blows that send cotton-like balls to dizzying heights to be rooted in the next spring," is a very hopeful stanza, because, yes, she will be rooted in the next spring. One day, one way or another, she will return. Great piece.
Thank you, Laurent. Thank you, Grass. You did a beautiful job in reading this poem that was dedicated to her. Okay, Katie, we're back to you now.
Okay, my dear. Do you want to go with the one that I have up here, Memories by Jurij, or do you want me to put another one up?
No, I would like for you to put the next poem up by Potria.
Okay, no problem.
Or no, wait, who is it? Bush Baby or Bush? Yeah, Bush Baby's up next. And I believe she has a recording.
Yeah, I obviously don't have this. I don't have the same list as you, I don't think. But here, I've got it. Not a problem.
Okay.
I've got it. I'm putting it up now.
I'm not sure. Did Phil?
Yes, ma'am.
Did she put up a poem?
I was pretty sure she did. Let me give it 2 seconds.
I've got Bush Baby.
Okay, hold on. We're not sure if we have a SoundCloud.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I do, but I have to.
Well, I can go to the next poem. Yeah, we can go to the next poem. Okay, so you want us to do Bush, wait for you, or should we go to the next one and then come back?
No, go ahead and do the next one. I'll come back. You go ahead and do the next one. I'll grab Bush.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Weaver, could you put the poem? Yes, there you go. Oh, she's on it.
I just need to know where I'm going, and I can go there. Okay, we have Almost a Poem by Pufriella. Would you like me to read this, seeing as I'm here and all organized and everything? Okay, no problem.
Yes, because you're our next reader.
Oh, was Andy Harry? It was probably Wednesday when she decided the world was unfair and took a midnight ride to a sinking heaven. She got a boat. Her lover gave her one. It wasn't meant to float. Never. 2 years before that, we met for coffee and a few slices of strawberry cake in an unheard little town with an unsteady reputation. The cafe was crowded with regular boozers and average poets, all in all, barely getting by. Her hair wasn't combed for days. I didn't mind. Most poets rarely combed. There was no need to be beautiful in a world owned by blind eyes. She told me her lover betrayed her. I told her the same. And in the back of my mind, I heard Bukowski say, all lovers betray. Then we laughed and cursed the world while trying hard not to choke on a mouthful of strawberry cake. Right now, we don't need the sweet kind of death, she said with a smile. And I seconded. The last time I heard her voice was from a recorded message, echoing somewhere in my dusty, obsolete SoundCloud account. I could have saved her. I wish I did. I never stopped crying ever since. End poem.
That was beautifully read, Weaver. And God, this is so deeply touching by Bukowski. So let's go ahead and get some comments. What did you think, Gray?
You did a beautiful read on that poem, Weaver. And I like the poem. You know, it's really done to Evangeline's style, and her unique voice is captured here in this rite. The last time I heard her voice was from a recorded message echoing somewhere in my dusty, obsolete SoundCloud account. I mean, you know, her voice will echo eternally, I think, to many people. And she was very much loved, as is captured in this poem. So a beautiful write and an excellent read.
Thank you, Gray Eyes. Irish Rose, what did you think of Portrea's poem?
Oh, I think that it captured her spirit of the way she was. And you could feel it in the form that was so like her style or close to it. And I really was touched by it.
Thank you, Irish Rose. And Gress, what did you think of Portia's poem?
Well, what it is about Evangeline's poem is always very, a lot about lost love. And I think the beginning of the poem was excellent because she found her lost love, the boat didn't float. And basically, that summed up a lot of what her poetry is about. It's about the hope of maybe getting it back, but knowing that no matter what you did, no matter how you try, you'll never get that feeling back from somebody that you love and that's been lost, because it will never be the same. And I think just that those words about the boat that wouldn't float, that just hit me. And it was a very good poem, and I really enjoyed it.
Agreed. I just want people to know that if you have a radio on or a TV on in the background, we're picking it up. So if just for and respect for Evangeline and the poets who have written for her and done recordings, could you please have it turned down or turned off just for a little bit? We would appreciate it. Okay, so now we are going to go back. Let me see, refresh my studio. And do we have Bush Baby up?
now, Phil?
Yes, we do.
Okay. Can you repost the link for us, Weaver?
Yes, you're ready.
By Bush Baby? Weaver?
I'm so sorry, I was on mute. I have already posted it up for you. It's there.
Okay, thank you.
No problem.
All right. And we do have a recording, Gray Eyes.
Hi,
could you play that for
baby,
us, please?
And this is my first time that I'm recording a poem and reading it, so please bear with me. Okay, my poem is for Banjalin, in dedication of her, and may she rest in peace. Banjalin was here. Yesterday my poems were inked, painted in time and playing their part. Most for you, whom I so cherished, the one who owned my heart. Tomorrow my fingers grow stuffed, letters will no longer pour. My words, they ran like water, will not reflect what I adore. Today, my poems are silent, for I have nothing to say. The nice thing about nothing is it coming out the wrong way, and poems that bled on paper. My thoughts, my words. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and thank you for everyone that read this poem.
Thank you, Bush Baby. It's the first time I heard your voice, and it is absolutely delightful. I loved the emotions that I could hear in your voice and in your words, especially that stanza where you talk about how our poems eventually all become silent. And, you know, I just thought that was just a wonderful line, and I just gotten a little choked up with it by listening to your poem. Thank you. And Katie, what did you think of the poem?
Oh, such an awful lot of emotion. It's lovely to hear how people think of someone so dear. I think it's lovely, and it was a beautiful poem. I just, as you say, I love that. Today my poems are silent, for I have nothing to say. The nicest thing about nothing is it's coming out the wrong way. It was beautiful, and thank you very much for sharing it with us.
Thank you, Katie. And our next poet to comment is Jeremy.
And yeah, we'll try it again. We'll try it again. I'll try to keep it together, folks.
That's okay.
Yeah, I want to tell a couple stories, because I want this to be a celebration, too. First of all, to honor Bush Baby. No, this is a cool poem, because it's tough, and I felt a lot of these emotions. When I heard that the banjo had left us, I wanted to write, and there was no way I could. I mean, I appreciated all the tribute poems. I appreciate the show. I appreciate the fact that people were able to put their words on paper and share that grief. And for me, it was very cathartic. But I think a lot of times when something touches you like this, it's hard to do. It's hard to touch. I mean, as poets, that's the whole name of the game, is to touch that vein and to share emotions. But sometimes it's raw and it hurts. And that's how I was. So I really understand where Bush Baby's coming from this, where I had nothing to say. There's no way that I could do it fulfillingly, I guess is the best way to put it. So, and I want to share a quick story why I'm not crying. So I do a show, started a show where we interview people. And I tried to get her on the show. And I so much wanted to talk to Banjo about all these years of giggling back and forth with spry comments and sharing the relationships that I was trying to convey earlier that we create here on All Poetry. And so I missed that opportunity. I very much appreciate these two tribute shows that we're going to have in the next couple of days, because I feel that is giving her a voice in a lot of ways. The fact that everyone is coming together and writing these tribute poems and capturing her spirit, all I got to do is say bravo to everyone here at AP, because it means a lot.
Thank you, Jeremy. And let's get one more comment, Laurent.
Yeah, it's always interesting to see how a poet will translate their emotions into words that ring true for the reader. And we find different ways of doing that. To me, what Bush Baby wrote in the second stanza does exactly that. Tomorrow my fingers grow stiff and letters will no longer pour. My words that ran like water will not reflect what I adore. It's such a beautiful metaphorical stanza, as is the entire poem.
Agreed. Thank you, everybody, for your wonderful comments. And we have an additional caller, caller 817, am I speaking with?
Is this working?
Yes.
Heavens. No, I'm totally unprepared. I'll jump in on the next one. I am drunk, sad, and under the influence of a sinus infection. So I'll jump in next round.
Okay. All right. I'm just writing your name down. And Katie, going back to you for our next poem.
Yes, my dear. There it is. Almost a Poem by Petria. Do you want to allocate someone to read it, or shall I?
Oh, no, I think you just read that one.
Almost
you
a
just
poem.
Read that one. Yeah, we just read that one.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, okay. Remember we had to put hers ahead of Bush Baby till Phil got the recording up? It's okay.
Okay, no.
It is easier. The next one would
sorry,
be
yes.
by Colab.
Got you. I've obviously got this completely wrong. Never mind, I'm getting there. Bear with me a second. I'm sorry, I'm afraid my system has decided to freeze on me. So.
Oh, that's okay.
Give me a moment.
That's what we heard.
We're getting there, Sorry about that. If I've got the right one this time, hopefully. There we are. Yes, okay. It's that kind of night, obviously. Right. I've got that one. Dear Banjo by Colab.
And our next caller read is Jeremy.
Jeremy, would you like to read this, my dear?
Well, I can try to give her a go. Absolutely. Dear Banjo by Colab. Can banjos be plucked on a day like this? I remember one of your poems of how you concocted this name, a crossbreed between banjo and a mandolin, or was I mistaken? Never mind. It doesn't matter anymore. Your voice poured out, the rawness of its language, the cornucopia of metaphors that spill on ink and its inimitable style, as if you were hoping it would band-aid your words. Did it? You even gave me a compliment once on a crappy piece I wrote, a contest in honor of your work. You probably felt it ridiculous to write something that resembles the style of another poet. Another soul for two souls are the same in banjo. Your everyday language bleeds, speaks to the reader directly as if you were our next-door neighbor. And that's the key to poetic genius, turning the personal into the universal. And I'm convinced you're back where you belong. Out there in the iridescent universe and the eternal song, square dancing with the bow. You've been waiting so long to join. I'm Paul.
Thank you, Jeremy. You did such a wonderful job in reading that. And let's go ahead and get some comments. Gray Eyes, what did you think?
Yeah, you did a great read on it, Jeremy. But I love the poem. You know, he's speaking to her spirit and, you know, admiring and celebrating that beauty that was shining through her words and her presence in our lives. So she was a universal spirit. Excellent, right?
Yeah. I thought that that Colette perfectly caught her sense of humor. And I like that. She had a fantastic sense of humor. And what did you think about the poem, Irish Rose?
Oh, I really like the reflection of banjo that you see in this poem, and it's really beautiful how certain aspects of her personality will come back and just really speak to you. And this does so well. Beautiful.
Great. Thank you, Irish Rose. And how about you, Grass?
That she is.
Grass, we lost you. I can't hear you.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes. Okay. We got you back.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. I'm just saying that I hope that she is out there with the person that she loves, because we all want that when we go away from our flesh bodies, that we're one with the spirit, with the people that we love. So I hope that's what she's doing.
Yeah. What?
Thank you, Grass.
I couldn't hear you. I have my...
Okay. And the drip, what did you think about her poem, Colette's poem?
I don't lose it until that last four lines. I'm fine. Like, everything that's written for her is so damn beautiful, but it's those last four lines that absolutely gut me. I'm convinced you are back where you belong. Like, she was never supposed to be here in the first place, and then she was here, some sort of cosmic... otherworldly thing, and thank God we got to see it. But she was never supposed to be here or stay here, and she's back now where she belongs, and home. And
yeah.
God bless it.
Thank you, everybody. Okay, Weaver, go ahead. We're ready for our next poem. Thank you for your fast, Weaver.
I wish I could play a banjo and make it smile like a sunny afternoon by Malibu. And next person to read would be Laurent. Laurent, would you like to read this?
Yes.
Yes, certainly. Give me one moment. All right. Perhaps I will never make your favorites list. My love poems take a back seat to your titles longer than my poems. But I wonder if you'll put your hand up to the morning sun and say, "Not today, Malibu. Save your breath." My teacup's full of steam, and my bloodshot eyes are held up on stilts. No need for salt and pepper on my sunny side-up eggs looking at you. And even if I could claw my way into your favor with metaphors that blind you without the shadow of a lover you doubt, I won't feel bad thinking my world crumbles in the silence of your poetry. I just want to say this. For a banjo, you play the strangest music for me to dance to. Blah, blah, blah. And I love it like that. End poem.
Oh, Laurent, you did such a fantastic job in reading Malibu's poem. So what I love so much about this poem is... we all tried to, I mean, she was fantastic in metaphors and broken heart poets, but this right here, it just, you know, where he said, you know how we always think our poetry never will light a candle to yours. And I thought that he caught that. And then I also loved that, you know, like Jeremy Brother, it was like somebody that you've always known, your next door neighbor, and, your metaphors were fantastic, as were hers. So what did you think about this poem, Katie?
Oh, I picked up on that as well. I thought it was absolutely wonderful. And even if I could claw my way into your favor with metaphors that blind you with the shadow of a lover you doubt, I think that is just beautiful. As somebody who really wants to impress, isn't that lovely? I think it was just a beautiful, again, full of praise and full of love, and I thought it was wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you. And Laurent, you did such a fabulous job in reading this poem. What did you think?
Sorry, I was on mute. The tone of it is filled with love, and it's kind of personal, and not quite conversational, but almost conversational. Just talking to her. teacups full of steam, and my bloodshot eyes are held up on stilts. No need for salt and pepper. And my sunny side up eggs looking at you. That's a great way of describing what the effect that banjo had on people. Well done.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Laura. And Jeremy, what did you think of Malibu's poem?
No, totally dug it. It's right in the style. It's right in the vein of everything that we're going to be talking about. I mean, again, I love Laurent. I think you did a great job. I love your reading voice. So I always enjoy when you present a poem. I like what Malibu really put to this. I got a smile in the second to last. You played the strangest music for me to dance to, because that was a fun thing that she always did. I mean, she was always talking about music. That was a big part of her life, from what I know from her, from AP. And she was always attaching a song, and she would often reference that in her poems. I don't think that she had a strange taste in music, but I think as an individual, I think she liked to convey that quirky personality, which is what made me, which made a lot of us so endeared to her. She was very self-deprecating, which I think we've seen as a common theme in a lot of these tribute poems to her. She wasn't afraid to call herself goofy, which I always love. I mean, you love someone that you can relate to because we're all goofy. And then, come on, with the blah, 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 yeah, that's 100% banjo. So I was smiling at the end of this great poem.
Thank you, Jeremy. Okay, Katie, we're ready for another fabulous poem.
Okay, and we have Dumpster Fires and Mocking GPS, Mark My Fork in the Road, by Manchero. And Gray, would you like to read this, please?
Sure, I'd love to. Dumpster Fires and Mocking GPS, Mark My Fork in the Road, by Mind Shadow. Damn it, banjo, the road turns. Reading too many road signs, find truth, only to see a big old green trash bin burning at road's end with no sign, reminding me of the gas station map of Pennsylvania I had thrown away years ago. Deep-throaty chuckle came from my GPS. Dumbass. I could have sworn it said. So I kept going. Banjo, wish you peace. Keep going. End poem.
Thank you, Gray Eyes. You did a fabulous job in reading Mind Shadow's poem. And let's get some comments. What did you think about the poem Irish Rose? Irish Rose, can you hear me? Are you on mute?
Did she drop?
No, she's still here. Okay. Well, we're waiting for her to come back. Let's go ahead and get a comment from Gress.
Well, you know, every time I think of a dumpster fire, I think of this picture on the Facebook. It's a dumpster on fire going down the river, and it's just meandering down, hitting things in the way. And it's just you want to pay attention to it because you don't know where it's going to go, if it's going to stop, the fire's going to stop or whatever. So I kind of like this write because it kind of reminds me of that. And also it kind of pokes fun at ourselves, that like kind of like what Banjolin will do. And I like the end. It's true. We wish you peace and just keep on going, you know, and very good. I liked it a lot.
Thank you, Grass. And the Drip, what did you think?
I tend to really, really like these endings. Everybody packs a very decent wallop at the end here. I like the deep throaty chuckle came from my GPS. Dumbass, I could have sworn it said. That's straight out of her mouth right there. And so I like the self-depreciatingness of it. I love that everyone seems to capture that, that even if you do feel a thing, you need to poke fun at yourself for feeling it. That's nice. I'm glad everyone caught that.
Thank you. And Irish Rose, are you back yet? Irish Rose? Okay. All right.
Am I
officially
allowed?
Think of the poem?
am I officially allowed to picture gray as being that dumpster rolling toward, down towards the river from now on? I mean, can we establish that in this memorial?
Establish what?
Sorry, it's a joke. It's a joke. I'm sorry.
It was
no,
good.
It's okay. She liked to joke. She had it had that sarcastic twinge to it, that sharp humor that was just funny. Gray, what did you think?
I thought it was an excellent write. You know, it was a pleasure to read it as well. I like the flow and the rhythm, and reminding me of the gas station map of Pennsylvania I had thrown away years ago. Deep throaty chuckle came from my GPS. Dumbass, I could have sworn it said, it's a beautiful write. And it had that like the sarcastic humor that Vandalin had. So beautiful write.
Thank you, Gray. And I'm going to try one more time to ask Irish Rose and see if we've gotten a hold of her yet. Irish Rose, are you still there?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't
Hello?
Get to hear the reader. This is Gwen.
Oh.
I didn't get to hear the read.
Oh, okay. All right, then. We'll catch you next time. Okay, back to you,
Thank you.
Weaver. Our next poem.
Our next poem is Vandalin Wind by Scratch and Post. And Irish Rose, would you like to read this?
Oh, sure. Thank you. Okay. Vandalin Wind. You hated your name, Amanda. Damn it. I'm Banjo, you said. But your voice on SoundCloud had no twang when reading aloud. It was music of another kind. It was the kind of voice that flows dance with your photo. That older one you had up years ago that seemed sad and lovely at the same time, like it was about to cry one way or another. I wondered if you took it down because you got tired of people falling in love with it, with you. Then you'd have to chase them away or help them climb out of their big lonesome. You were a breath of fresh air, rare, sitting in your corner, writing your way. You get riled at suggestions. You could write a novel. Did you really know at least, though, how often you fire sparked out in other hearts? Sometimes I came by just for a drink at your well, or to kindle from your burning coal a bit of fire. Sometimes I just needed, reminded of true north. Your genius was always ripe. Your rivers filled with gold, an oasis of blah, 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 love. To win your praise on a poem was better than winning the hand of many another princess. It was a kiss on the brow. I'm not worthy even now to speak of you or call you friend, but please allow a few kind and long overdue words, heartfelt. Vandalin, we all love you.
That was a beautiful read, Irish Rose, and this is just a fantastic poem by Scratch and Post. I loved how there were so many personal tidbits in here that, like that picture that he brought out, it was just, she could take you back to different places in different times. You could feel the heaviness of her heart or feel the wildflowers blowing in the breeze. She was just such an amazing poet. And let's get her some comments. What did you think about this poem, Katie?
Oh, it was lovely, wasn't it? I mean, I didn't know she hated her name, but the name that she decided to take was perfect, I think. And the thought that people were falling in love with her annoyed her. I thought that was just so wonderful. She sounded like an amazing person and somebody who's got the kind of sense of humor that I love. So, yes, I thought it was absolutely lovely and a beautiful tribute. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Katie. And what did you think, Jeremy?
I don't know Scratching Post, but I love that there are tributes to this ode to Banjo that's letting me know or introducing me to people that knew her on much more of a personal level than I did. little tidbits, like what Katie just said, giving me insights. And I don't know, because you always want to know more, right? Especially if someone's gone. I want to know more about who they were. And for Banjo, I want to talk a second about 100% that she is our modern-day Charles Bukowski. And she would hate it when I said that. But she was so autobiographical. And for anybody that's been reading her for the past couple months and this whole freaking love saga that she's had going on at work, it was just every day she's telling me about how much in love she is. And it was just – but it started my day, and that's why I miss her so much, is because I was getting – I didn't know if it was a real persona. I didn't know if it was 100% autobiographical, but I was enthralled every day to this whiskey-drinking, cigarette-smoking – country bar persona that she was bringing me into, you know, and it was always with poetic device, and that's why it fits so well in all poetry, because as much as she hated to admit it, she was that gooey, lovey poet that did it with her own spry smile. And so, back to this specific poem. Thank you, Scratching Post. Thank you for bringing in a little bit more of the lady that that we've all grown to love. Because, she was something special.
She was. Thank you, Jeremy. And Laurent, I'd like to know what you thought of Scratch and Post's poem.
Yeah, it was a great poem. It contained, those little germs of information that helped to create a character that Angeline was. When the poet says, "Your voice on SoundCloud had no twang when reading aloud. It was music of another kind," and then described it as sad and lovely at the same time, like it was about to cry one way or another. I thought that was kind of breathtaking writing, because it gives us so much insight into her as a person. Great piece.
Thank you, Laura. Okay, Katie, who do we have next?
Okay, next up we have "Things We Don't Control." "So Sorry to See You Go" by Heartthrob. And Agrash, would you like to read this? Am I saying your name correctly? I just said Agrash.
Agrassman.
Agrassman.
Thank you. Would you like to read this, please?
"Things We Don't Control, Sorry to See You Go" by Heartthrob. What's it to be loved? Must one die first to know? How am I thought of? Is there still rules for price to be a for a cause? Allow me first and see those who truly love me. Shall they usher me home? Allow me not to be alone. Dear poets of the night, and those who shine by day, rejoice as you spew, no matter how you do it fray. Encouraging free expression, whether right, wrong or right, just let the feeling show, no hidden agenda and fight. Let me die a little, she wrote, if to not love you, shall I go to hell? No, I think not, yet only time will tell. Shed no tears for me, my whispers in the wind, and if you cared for me, read my works again. Where I'll always be with you and never leave you alone, I rest in this zone. Time's a riddled equation, longevity is a hope, thy spirit shall be nigh. As you read things I wrote, never shall I leave you, cry out, I'll be there, on the waves of the ocean, in rhymes everywhere. I'll be in touch. Toodles.
That was a fantastic read, Grossman. I enjoy listening to you read. And I really love this endearing poem by Heartthrob. I really thought that she caught that side of her that, this right here, "Dear poets of the night and those who shine by day, rejoice as you spew, no matter how you do it, spray." And, you know, she always told it like it was. You could literally just feel her emotions, what she was going through. And it was like as if you were there sitting with her out on that porch with a glass of whiskey and some rocking chair. It's just, it's a family of poets, our expression. And she so wonderfully expressed herself. What did you think, Katie?
Oh, this one really touched me. I thought it was absolutely beautiful. As if she was talking to you. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I like when things
That's
become
okay.
so personal. It's lovely to hear how people think about someone, and I think that was just lovely. Thank you.
Thank you. And Grey Eyes, what did you think of Heartthrob's poem?
I thought it was beautiful. You know, it... it speaks to what you cannot change, you know, and how you have to accept it and move on, but that she'll always be here with her, with us in her words. And, you know, it captures her. She says, I'll be in touch. Toodles. Yeah, this is a beautiful poem. Heartfelt and well-expressed.
Great. Thank you, Gray. Well, how about you, Irish Rose?
Oh, it speaks of who she was, you know, and all the different reflections of how she was and how she could be transparent or she could be very complex. It just, you know, but she was always right there on the edge and she was always, you know, there to lend a hand. And it was beautiful. Enjoyed it.
Thank you. What did you think, Agrisman?
Well, I like the... I like how she wrote it in rhyme, and it just touched you knowing that no matter what, it's like what we always say, is like whenever we lose a poet out here, we have, thank goodness we have their thoughts and words on here that we can always go back to. And I think the spirit of those rites will echo with us for a long time. I think that we as poets, we, you know, the most, you know, a lot of times it's the saddest part of our lives is where we turn to poetry. And I think lost love and unrequited love are some of the things that everybody can share and understand. And I think that's what the poem was saying, is like, yeah, we know you're going to be around for a long time with your words that you've written on here. And I really appreciated that, right? Because it gives us a part of her for always, you know, until whatever. I don't think of what that's very good.
Agreed. Thank you, Grass. And what did you think, the drop?
All right, sorry. We're usually, I'm all about the packing ending punch of these. The first two lines absolutely split me in two. What's it to be loved? Must one die first to know? There's absolutely nothing more banjo than that. it's such a shitty thing, but it was my first thought. One of my first thoughts was, why does it take someone dying to make you feel like you're doing it too? And that's not something I've been able to answer. And I don't guess that I ever will have that answer. But no, this is beautiful. And those first two lines I want tattooed on me somewhere.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, we are now back to Weaver for our next poem.
Okay, our next one is, There's Red, Green, Yellow Signals to Guide Us to Safety by L.P. Convey. And,
you know what?
What
the youth, that the poet's no longer with us.
Okay.
Okay, right. So we need to go to the next one.
I'll go to the next one, okay. One second. Mm-hmm. Sorry about that, there we have it, the next one. Okay. Is this one okay? By Her I Should Be.
Okay.
Alfred Vassello. And the drip, did we read this?
The drip?
Hello?
Hello?
Yes?
Sorry, I'm playing catch up here. Jeremy told me to blow my nose, so now I'm looking for something that isn't hard and, you know, just. There's nothing like paper around here, okay?
Oh,
got a wood block and some whittling tools. Okay. By her I should be. By poetry cures my soul. To defend my love for her, I need to go back in time, far back, and have faith. For me, this is a simple solution. For her, it spells disaster. By her side, I will be. By my side, she will stay. Both of us together shall be. I am not a brave man, not a bully. I am a soldier of love, a slave for her affections. With the same love for her, I shall die. She shall be free of me, without my love forever. My adorable love. That's when I will not rest peacefully in my grave. End poem.
Thank you very much, the Drip. You did a fabulous job in reading Alfred's poem. Let's get him some comments. What did you think, Jeremy?
Cool poem. A little more spiritual, which definitely has a place for a show like tonight. And definitely welcome on a lot of levels. Something that I really liked, I know we just took off, but something that I liked about what Gressman was just saying in the last poem is how all of these dedications, they last forever. I've lost one other friend on All Poetry a number of years ago, and I wasn't as close to him as I was to Banjo. And after I heard that Banjo passed, I went back and wrote some more notes and visited him some more. And what I like about all of this, everything that we're putting again together tonight, is the way it's bringing us together, but also the way that we're able to touch and still celebrate her. And I don't know if it's public. It's not for me to publish. There is on the group for Banjo. I know that her mom has joined the page and she's contactable as an entity here on All Poetry now. And I've encouraged her to read all the comments because, again, a lot of what you guys have said, a lot of the love and the spirit and the feel that we all are celebrating here for tonight for Banjo is in that interaction. And I've encouraged her family to go back and realize how much it's undying and how much she meant to us and how much hopefully it'll live on in the future. Because I think by being a poet, especially as talented as Banjo, she's not going to die. She's not gone. She's not erased. We can still have these conversations. We can still celebrate her poetry. We can still understand her words, feel the spirit, and have a love. So, great poem.
Thank you, Jeremy. Wonderful comment. What did you think, Laurent?
This is very well written, the piece. I love what he says. Where the hell is it? Excuse me. With the same love for her, I shall die. She shall be free of me without my love forever. The implication that when he dies, the love for her will also die, which I thought was just a very interesting observation, almost as if the love was something physical that could be affected by life or death, and in this case, it is. And his last line, that's when I will not rest peacefully in my grave, I thought was gently humorous.
Thank you. Thank you, Laurent. And Katie, what did you think?
I thought it was absolutely beautiful. I thought the sentiment was so beautifully expressed. And that last line, just boom, that's when I will not rest peacefully in my grave. I thought it was just so heartfelt and just so very, very loving. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you. You know, what I loved about Poetry Cures My Soul is, you know, that stanza, that loss that you feel in that first stanza. Do you defend my love for her? I need to go back in time. You know, when we lose somebody, how all these memories, conversations, and poetry we hear just all comes back in a fresh wave of emotions. And, you know, and I felt the love here and how much he deeply will miss her. It was just beautiful. Thank you so much. Okay, Katie. We are in our second half hour. So we would like to go and read the poems written by, I think, Jeremy, you have a poem up, don't you? I'm not sure.
No, I do not. No, I do
it's
not.
It's a long list. Okay. Okay, Laurent has one. Irish Rose has one, and the Drip has one.
I'll just
let's see if we can.
I've got one up at the moment.
Okay.
And I'll find the other one.
Okay.
That you're speaking of. So that was Laurent. Who else?
Yeah.
Drip and who else has one?
Irish Rose.
Irish, got it. That's fine. Okay.
And
so
the Drip.
Yeah, got that. Thank you.
Okay.
Right, so what we have at the moment, excuse me, I've got a cough now. Oh, heaven never felt so
that's
near.
Okay.
Okay, so I'll just
While you're looking for that, I'll go ahead. You put up Sandra Lee's, correct?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We can go ahead and do that one while you're looking.
Thank you.
Okay. And did you want to announce or did you want me to?
No, it's fine. So, Jeremy, would you like to read this one, please?
Heaven Never Felt So Near by Sandra Lee. Vaya con Dios, my friends, from my knees to the corridors among your adamantine dead, where madness transcends the attic of clouds towards naive fields and Messiah noon, intervals of your narratives, disregarding and disintegrating into rivers of stratospheres, bookmarking your place in history of literary voices praising you. You molded your metaphors into love's calligraphy, forbidding white-winged doves through the mouth of your sky. You detested them, and yet you wore their lip color just of flip-off love, and your pen was the thunderous Amazon cutting through it. But still, love sucks up your final story, omnipresent as Plath's poetry. Shall the point of your pen forever pass upon the wood grain of your larger-than-life presence, or is it too empty now and too silent now with the genius of your gift, that buoyant sea spilling the odor of pearls? I sat here at my hungry desk, gazing toward the loneliness shelf, gracing the ghosts of Sylvia and winter trees and Neruda's lagoons, and now you. I will finally reflect what I'm looking toward there. In your honor and the memory of your strong mountains, amid evening hours, where I once wrote of bluebirds in the shadows, I know your artistry is there now with the bones of glory, transforming ovaries into blackbirds and lightning, chewing on untidy sunsets. And now I'm fighting against this urge to break. But I'm reawakened, remembering. Now women like us never weep. And Paul.
That was a fantastic read, Jeremy. Let's get some comments on this. Gray Eyes.
Yeah, I did a great read on that, Jeremy. But I like the poem. You know, it speaks to their kinship and their uniqueness together, and you know how she's kept on the loneliness shelf with remembrance of ghosts of Sylvia, winter trees, and Nerado's lagoons. You know, she's going to look back fondly on her life and her existence. So it was a beautiful poem. Expressing deep, powerful love.
Thank you, Gray. And what did you think of this poem, Irish Rose?
Well, I really love the imagery that was used in here, and then the depth that this was taken to also. It just was very spiritual. I really liked it. Beautiful.
Thank you. Agreed. Thank you. And how about you, the drip?
I like that there's an almost near violence to this. It's kind of aggressive, the wording choice. Or is it the, let me come back to it. The buoyancy spilling the odor of pearls. That is gorgeous. Obviously referencing Sylvia makes anything semi-violent. But transforming ovaries into blackbirds and lightning. Do you know what I mean? There's a physical aggression here, and I adore that because that's what this feels like. There's the love, but there's also that desire to just punch anything in the face. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
That's how it feels. It's
yeah, you know, there is a strength and, you know, a loneliness in here. And there's also such beauty. The metaphors in here are just fabulous. Shall the point of your pen forever press upon the wood grain of your larger-than-life present? And, you know, and that's how she was. She wasn't out there, you know, showing herself or pretending to be she's not. She was what you saw was what you got. And that's what I love so much about her. And, you know, just her wit. And her metaphors would just literally cut into your heart. Excellent read, Jeremy. Thank you so much. And we are ready for our next poem.
Okay. The next poem is The Shady Grove. So, Irish Rose, could you read your poem, please?
Thank you. Sure. The Shady Grove. By Irish Rose. Begin poem. It was in the fall when the birds flew by and the wind blew over my thoughts, speaking your name inside my mind's eye, crowned with your light. Reflections recalling the reframe in life's moments and remembrance. I bring you my flowers, carefully cut in tones of life and disbelief. Colored in those deeply purple shady grove sides, where memories that lived and breathed are there, swaying, waiting down by the river's edge, cloaked forever, painted in your words, the deepest song.
Oh, my goodness, Irish Rose, this is beautiful. I'm kind of choked up. Let's get some comments. Katie.
Yes, beautifully read and so such a beautiful remembrance poem. I think it's just lovely. You have obviously a lot of feelings for it, and it really touched me. Well, thank you very much for sharing that.
Thank you.
Thank you. You know, your wording is just gorgeous where you say in these deeply purple, shady grove sides where memories that lived and breathed are there, swaying, waiting down by the river's edge. I could just see her in this cotton dress just flowing in the breeze with her hair, catching the highlights of her hair as she's walking towards this river edge. This was just beautiful, Irish Rose. You just took me there.
Thank you.
And Jeremy, what did you think?
I got to keep it light, because if I don't keep it light, I'm going to keep breaking up.
Uh-huh.
So heck yeah on that last poem, Britt. I love your nasally comment about punching in the face. That was right on. You're always right on. Irish, on this one, trying to keep it together. Yes, the way that you formatted this alone, even without love and banjo, even without anything we've been talking about tonight, the lineal isolation of this poem is the mood of everything. And I love this poem for that. I love the fact that you captured emotion without even reading a word. The fact that you did that is the emotion, and then you bring it together in that bold at the bottom when you got meteor, because yeah, M-E-A-T-I-E-R, meteor, is because, yeah, that's when you've got to let it out. And that's what it's all about. I mean, this poem is, it's love and it is grief about what we're all feeling. And then the spacing at the end, the loneliness, the loss. Irish Rose is a great poem. Thank you for contributing it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. And Laurent, you are next to comment.
I bring you my flowers, carefully cut in tones of life and disbelief, colored in those deeply purple shady grove sighs, where memories that lived and breathed are there, swaying, waiting down by the river's edge. I don't know. Kudos on this fine piece of writing, especially this particular stanza, offering us such a magic image. Well done.
Thank you.
Thank you. And we're back to you, Weaver.
Okay. And next we have a poem by The Drip. You'd applaud my use of the F word and add that the bar of soap is here. I imagine it's supposed to be. So, The Drip, would you care to read this, please?
Yes, ma'am. Everyone's pointed out how nasally I sound, and I think Benji would laugh her ass off. Here we go. You'd applaud my use of the F word and add that the bar soap in heaven tastes like chocolate malt. I need more than one hand to count my dead friends now. And it's an age thing, surely. I mean, what girl in her 30s can't imitate moves to count all her lost soulmates? Or, I'm taking each loss too personally. You did not leave so much as you left me. And that's roundabouts true, but I know I'm just angry and lonely and loath to start taking off shoes. Losing someone creative is all the more tragic. When Nick died, I was angry that he died for nothing. No significant contribution to art, just a kid who doesn't look very much like him, and a lunatic wife who thinks she'd have minded him dying extra had he excelled at all. And even that part's not entirely true. He could fuck like a champ, and that weren't no small thing. If I am angry that your book is not on my shelf, so too should I want his legacy spread. But I'm getting off topic. This is about you and the fact that you've left me to grieve yet again. We are doing our best to make sure you are honored. So if you see Nick around, fuck him if you can. And for him.
Okay. Thank you, Drip. Let's get some comments. Gray.
I liked it. It was in your face, raw and edgy. You know, it's a bit early in the night for that kind of language, but that's fine. It went well. I enjoyed it a lot. It was beautifully read as well. You know, I liked it. It was very Vangeline-esque, so beautifully done.
Thank you, Gray. And what did you think, Irish Rose?
Oh, I thought it was banjo. Could feel it, and I thought it was done well.
And would you like to say anything about your poem, The Drip, since you're next to comment?
I need to point out the fact that Banji and I, we didn't get to be friends immediately. She was, and I need to say this because I know I'm sure some of her relatives are listening, and I need them to know. It was like the cool kid in class noticing anything about you and inviting you to sit at the cool kid table, except it was just her, and you didn't really know if it was the cool kid table. It just felt like the cool kid table. So getting to know her these last, shoot, I don't even know, 8 years maybe, it was like having this really cool older sister that I never knew I wanted. I always thought I always wanted an older brother, and maybe that's true too, but she turned into this person that I could just talk all this shit with. And writing this, because I know that it's not entirely about her. I went ahead and used this to talk some shit about my dead husband too, but she would have appreciated all of that. I know that, and she would have laughed hysterically at it, and that's all I ever wanted to do was make her laugh. And sometimes I did, and that was worth my weight in gold, and that's a lot of gold.
Thank you, the dip. Okay, back to you, Katie.
Okay, no problem. And the next poem up is Tale Unfinished by Laurent. Laurent, would you care to read your poem, please?
Thank you. Standing at the edge of the sky, you gaze at the tincture of a blue-green world. Out-of-body disconnect, version 10 billion and one, unique. Heart beats as a monosyllable, moon dressing you in pearls, safe harbor and a shimmering sea. You sang us to sleep, nudged us awake, helping to embrace the pantheon of dreams. You were a bright thing, outshining the stars, a new life, stepping out. Flowing, water bathed you in a cradle of liquid light, and you laughed at the joke, the black voice calling out, take me, blood and breath, past elevation, beyond inference, into deviation, away from the narrow path, take me beyond. Cosmic chuckle ushers in reality. Going to try it all again. Get it right this time. Leaving pain behind. Rebooting. Endings always precede beginnings. Story is not yet done. Tale unfinished. End poem.
That was a beautiful poem, Laurent, as well as a beautiful read. You know, I do believe you caught her aura right here, where you said heart beats as a monosyllable, moon dressing you in pearls, safe harbor in the shimmering sea. I just thought that was so beautiful. I just thought you caught her essence there. And then her personality, where you go, you sang us to sleep. And then right here, I smiled when you said this, and nudged us awake, helping to embrace the pantheon of dreams. What a beautiful tribute, Laurent. This is just gorgeous. Thank you so much. And Katie, what did you think of Laurent's poem?
Oh, I thought you read it beautifully. I thought it was so nice to hear you reading something had so much feeling in it. And the title, Tale Unfinished, was just beautiful. Yes, I thought I couldn't pick out one stanza that was any more lovely than the next, but I particularly loved flowing water bathed you in a cradle of liquid light, and you laughed at the joke. Ah, beautiful, Laurent, and thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Katie. And how about you, Jeremy?
This is tough to deal with, Lauren. Losing a friend like this is tough. I hope you understand what I'm saying when I say this. It's a confusing time. There's so many unanswered questions with all of this, and we all turn to friends, for me, family, friends, faith. And you more so than what you've offered has been a lot of explanation, and I like that. I like in your words, in this kind of ethereal feeling of this poem, you gave me peace. Thank you.
Those small things, thank you.
Thank you, Jeremy. And would you like to say anything about your poem, Laurent?
I didn't know Banjolin really well at all. She was gracious in her comments on a few of my poems that she happened to read. I always heard about her and wondered about her, but never really knew her. And it is through evenings like tonight that I'm gaining a strong insight on a personality who I now regret never having mostly.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Laurette. Back to you, Katie.
Okay, my dear. Next one we have has a sound cloud. And it's I Think the Bandit in You Would Love the Gold Cast of This Sundown by Bev Smith.
Okay, great. Right?
Great. I think the bandit in you would love the gold. I think the bandit in you would love the gold cast of this sundown. We tend to keep a gilded cage for bird pies, some tropical fetish of feathered color, for a corner sunny, well lit with warmth. Like old love notes, their beak-borne skeletons, proof of life. Maybe it's the tiredness in me that never rests, the unfulfilled fulfillment of a next word, world still in sleep. The satisfaction of dissatisfaction, pushing more into an already full jar, only to catch the fracture, the way light bends death. Because one more is never safe for the road, or is the road itself to blame when it splits and straddling both here, legs wide in the why of choice, blows the mind with a feathered push. Why angry and broken share bread? How I want to both shake you, but gently let you go to the somewhere I cannot. I pray the dogs you bet on win their hand and finish their cigars before their owners return home. All this ink, maybe there is no escape. Maybe our pens are spoons, each word particles of dirt, every poem the grave to lay down in when finally we fit.
Thank you, Bev, for that beautiful recording and beautiful poem for Banjolin. Let's get you some comments. What did you think about Bev's poem, Gray? Gray Eyes, are you muted?
Yes, I was halfway through my comment. Thank you. But I thought you did a wonderful job on her SoundCloud. You know, expressing the deep sadness that is prevalent in the ultimate stanza. Maybe there is no escape. Maybe our pens are spoon. Each word, particles of dirt, every poem, the grave to lay down in, when finally we fit. I mean, how heart-wrenching is that? It's such a dark and tragic conclusion to that powerful poem. So just a beautiful write and read.
Thank you, Gray. And what did you think about the poem, The Trip?
Oh, Lord. I was broken up reading the poem anyway, and then listening to her read it was even freaking worse. By worse, I mean better. I mean, I'm just in shit shape. Why angry and broken share bread, how I want to both shake you but gently let you go to the somewhere I cannot. There is nothing more beautiful in existence written than that, and it hurts like hell, but that's exactly it. That's it. That nails it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. You know, what I love is the emotions that she put in here, the imagery that she put, especially with that first stanza, because when you look at the picture she put up, which is a picture of a beautiful sunset behind mountains and a road that just looks like a dirt road heading right towards it. It says, we tend to keep a gilded cage for bird by some tropical fetish of feathered color for a corner sunny, well-lit with warmth. You know, I could just see Banjolin being called to that light to come home and sleep and right here, you know, right in this beautiful image of the sunset, the golden rays, and of course I loved the, she was always funny, and I loved the way Bev caught her humor, where she says, "I pray the dogs you bet on win their hand," and they finish their cigars before their owners return home. And, you know, and that's how we see her. She just wrote so beautifully. You could just fall into the imagery of every poem that she had written. And I just thought, not only beautifully read, but beautifully penned. Thank you so much, Beth. And Weaver, we're ready for our next poem.
All right. Next poem we have, "The Longing, Requiem of Heaven, Meet Your Eyes," by Harco Paco.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeremy, would you read this, please?
Absolutely, I will. "The Long Requiem of Heaven, Meet Your Eyes," by Harco. "I cannot write words into the wind, just as long as your pen guides against the old, tired earth." Banjo was here. "A drove of phrases heaven, from shadowy elm and rib cages, you'd praise as the rain so silently falls on the closed eyes. A poet has died. Do you remember love as it settled beneath your breath, closing into hymns before your hands, mocked sunsets and moved with prideful letters worn on your sleeve? And you'd uttered words, words nobody could speak as death married your language. First, it goes onto the desk, where the cemetery buries your name, and everyone shudders because it wasn't your time. And still knew about all things, existing in love and death, just as you tried to shake the sun, because you knew nothing more than a note ending up in the sky. But that note was never so quiet, and maybe it vanished with the rain, hushing, as Plath knew about confessions, preaching the holy. Everyone mourns the baldachin of your eyes, squeaking tranquility out of your faded mirth. Our lungs ache, and yet you are gone. Now, a poetic god mourns into reveries that bloom flowers, curling along fingers to dispel home away from home. Even when we cannot bring you back, everyone will always remember. Always." And poem.
Oh, my goodness, you did a beautiful job. Oh, this is so deeply touching, Adam. Your wording here is, it just leaves me breathless. You know, I like how you wrote and started this off, "I cannot write words into the wind, just as your pen guides against the old tired earth." Banjo is here. You know, sometimes we just become so tired that our ink cannot flow anymore, and we lose, well, for whatever reason, we lose them in so many ways. But, you know, we want you to know that you were deeply loved. And, oh my goodness, this poem just makes me breathless. What did you think, Katie?
Oh, I agree with you. I mean, so beautiful. I'm used to Adam writing brevities. And so to see something like this is just marvelous. It really is. It's so, it speaks so much of how he felt and how he thought and of a person that he's obviously going to miss. And I think that's just absolutely lovely. I thought, "Our lungs ache and yet you are gone." Read that. Oh, that really hits home, doesn't it? Yes, I think he did a beautiful job. Lovely. Thank you.
Thank you, Katie. And Jeremy, you're next to comment. I know that you read the poem. Would you like to make a comment?
Yeah, Harco rocks it, for sure. It hurts. Yeah, there's a couple, we've done it a couple times tonight. There's been some tributes that have referenced Plath. I think, and I don't know her as well as most, but Banjo had some struggles. And equating her to Plath and what Plath went through, I think is I think it's a sweet tribute. I think it's a humbling tribute because I think Banjo is a very talented poet, and I like the fact that those two spirits are akin to one another. It's a tragedy. We're all touched by it, and I love Harco's poem. I love what Harco did here, and I love the fact that there are those nods to the greats because I think Banjo was a great, and I think that the spirit and the love is felt in what was presented here.
Agreed. Thank you so much. And Katie, back to you for our next poem.
Of course, just give me one second here. Get that out. Now this is, yes. Right, this is, whether you with the Lord is between you and him, and I gather by. Electric Median. So, Laurent, would you like to read this, please? Laurent, are you on mute, my dear?
Yes, my dear, I was. I'm sorry.
No problem. It's a pandemic.
I love his title, so I have to read it, even though you just did. Whether you're with the Lord is between you and him. And I gather there was much between you and him. The last I wrote, I was saying, you scared me, Banjo. Please don't leave. And here I am, using up my monthly quota for you again, this time saying, you're gone. Heart halfway to grabbing the microphone and letting out a squall. Go ahead and ask me how long it's been since I last cried. How long do you think? I don't think I've stopped. And I had to tell my mom because I cried in front of her while restocking my grandmother's pills. Turmeric, she was a poet. Bilberry, earlier in September. Cinnamon, but she was on new medication and she had someone. Beta-carotene. I thought she was doing better. Vitamin B. And that was goodbye. Swiping at eyes while reaching for the next bottle, pausing in the middle to ask, are we out of aloe vera? Still choked up. And Mom's religious, so I knew it had come up, but I'm religious too. So I had my good book approved answer ready and sealed in an envelope. As with anyone, whether you're with the Lord now, it's between you and him. And I gather there was a lot between you and him. Distance, hurts, and understanding. A history, at least. So I said as much. I told her about the card. I just wanted her family to know how much she was loved. That Banjo was here. And she left that mark on us. End point.
You did such a fabulous job in reading this. Thank you so much, Laurent, and thank you, Electric. Let's get you some comments. Laurent, I know you read this poem, but you're up next to comment. Would you like to make a comment on what you just read?
Yeah, the last three lines, that Banjo was here and that she left that mark on us. It's such a brief statement, yet it really encompasses through the story that she told about sitting with her mother while restocking my grandmother's pills, the alternating pills with a description back and forth, made it so real for me, as if This is no story that was made up. This is exactly what was happening. And I gather there was much between you and him is a delightful phrase. There is a gentle acceptance of the fact that almost anything is possible. Certainly, an association between Banjo and the Lord. remarkable piece, I thought.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. And I was just looking at this poet's author's notes, and right here it says that there's one thing I wanted to say here, but the way things developed, it didn't fit anymore. Basically just that she left her poems behind instead of deleting all but the last few, and that I'm grateful for at least. There was one more fleeting thought of, she said, I was like a sister. And I wondered if she knew how much closer my age was to that of her kids. But only because I've been thinking about it since she said it, I still am.
You know, the love is just so apparent here. She took so many under her wing. And I thought this was beautifully planned, and I loved your comment, Laurent. Thank you. And what did you think, Gray Eyes?
Hi. So it was a beautiful poem, wonderfully read. But, you know, I like the way he's conversing with her, you know, even though she's not there. You know, he's using up his month of the quota, saying, this time saying, you're gone, part halfway to grabbing the microphone and letting Ella squall. But, you know, it's a very hard-hitting, personal, and impactful poem, deeply reverential and inspirational at the same time. So a beautiful read. Excellent read, Lauren.
Thank you, Gray. And The Drip, what did you think of their poem?
This of all the tribute poems that I've read, and I told myself I didn't really want to read any just because everything sort of makes it more real and more real, and that's the last thing I wanted. But this is my absolute favorite, and it's because there's a distance. She's experiencing this absolute loss while doing something else like restocking pills. Nobody else is aware of this tragedy that's taken place, that one of the greatest writers of our generation is gone. And you still have to count out pills for your grandmother. Life does not stop. Nothing pauses. Nothing. There's no moment of silence. You know what I mean? Everything keeps going. And she does that beautifully. And this is my favorite of all the tribute poems I've read.
Thank you so much, The Drip. And now we're back to you, Katie.
Oh, right. Next one up is She Was Born in a Breeze, But Yesterday the Wind Died by Becky Friend. And there's a SoundCloud, I think, Gray?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I will get that. Here we go.
She was born in a breeze, but yesterday the wind died. A tribute to Banjolin by Becky Friend. The banjo to the mandolin crowed, my music is the best. Strings of steel that thrill when bowed as the rhythm rings out. People stomp their feet and shout, metallic notes trembling beneath quick fingers. Refrains with a cowboy twang, that down-home sound. I can fill the room with snaps and strums that drive even wallflowers to dance. And still, I can leave heartstrings tangled, tied up in Mr. Bojangles and his traveling pup. Then the mandolin to the banjo said, you play to an audience spread from east to west, but my music is best. My silver strings wrapped in chrome whisper with aged autumn tones, a warm and woody voice that echoes like a breeze in the forest, chords cut from a chorus evergreen. Songs caught between Renaissance and bluegrass, between a waltz and a country cotillion. So the mandolin and the banjo sparred in a war for brightest stringed star. their riffs and rippling wines and their voices aligned, buffered and blended by crosswinds. Earth's perfect poetry, sounds that captured the symmetry of teardrops and smiles, life and death, love and breath. Messages carried for miles, music so sweet it made the songbirds weep. The voice of a genuine artisan called Banjolin.
That was a beautiful poem, Becky. I loved your read of this, your tone of voice. You know, it is true. Then the mandolin to the banjo said, you play to an audience spread from east to west. You know, and that's what she did. She touched all of us from different areas of the world with her beautiful tones and her life, her story-like poetry that was just, you know, so beautiful. And she talked about so many things, and I thought Becky caught this beautifully, the sounds that capture the symmetry of teardrops and smiles, life and death, love and breath, messages carried for miles, the music so sweet, and her voice will always be heard and be singing. But she's left the mark, like she says, they, you know, she was here. Banjolin was here. Let's get some comments. What did you think, Katie?
Oh, they're just getting more and more and sweeter, and it's so difficult to keep yourself together. I just thought, again, this is just beautiful. And that last few lines, it made the songbirds weep, the voice of a genuine artisan called Banjolin.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, beautiful. People's sentiments and people's love, it's just so wonderful, and it's all pouring out into words that people can go back and read, and the family could read it as well. So I think it's just beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you, Katie. And Jeremy, what did you think?
Yeah, Brittany, here's my checkmate. I can fill the room with snaps and strums that drive you and wildflowers to dance. That's my cat. You know what, guys? This one made me smile. I mean, heck yeah. This is a celebration. She was a freaking amazing poet. Becky, friend, thank you so much for this poem, because this one made my heart sing quite a bit. And I never got asked the turkey why Amanda Mandy called herself Banjolin, but I would assume that all the answers are in this poem. So, yeah, this one brought me joy.
Agreed. Thank you so much, Jeremy. And we're back to you, Katie.
Oh, thank you. Give me a moment. There we are.
Mm-hmm.
I've got so many pages dancing about in front of my eyes. I need them to be numbered or something. Right, we have The Voice That Carries Furthest by C. Francis Higgins. And Laurent, would you read this, please?
Certainly. Our friend C. Francis unfortunately lost his son last year, and I think that hurt. And that sensation of loss will probably carry over into this particular poem, The Voice That Carries Furthest. That voice carries furthest in endless tundras and obscured skies, sunless in the dying ether, but perfectly authentic. And that sentiment cuts deepest when launched from this porch or from stampless letters unsent, and driven by childish tears. And this is not about blackened catfish and shared cigarettes, half-empty honky-tonks in spring, or lovers half-remembered that still burn these sheets and crowd my fierce stanzas, wild and electric. It is only about a woman who wanted her voice to carry over frozen fields beyond all vision and heartbreak. End poem.
Laurent, that was such a beautiful read of Francis's poem. The imagery in here is just absolutely striking. You know, those
or from the stampless letters and sent, you know, how many times that we get so busy in our lives that we forget to cherish those that we love at times, and we don't say those things that we had meant to say or to write about. And, you know, she did. She wrote, you know, where she's right here. She was so passionate. Or lovers half remembered that still burn these sheets and crowds my fierce stanzas wild and electric. And her poetry was passionate, and it was wild and electric. And I thought that he wonderfully wrote this tribute for Banjolin. What do you think, Gray?
You did a beautiful read on it,
Gray.
You did a wonderful read on it, Lauren. And I liked it, you know. I mean, it's endearing, it's engaging. It's only about a woman who wanted her voice to carry over frozen fields beyond all vision and heartbreak. And I think you captured that beautifully about Banjolin, so excellent, right?
Thank you, Gray. And how about you, The Drip?
My voice is just sounding worse and worse with time, and I apologize in advance. This is my second favorite tribute of all the ones that have been written, but I feel like it needs to be said, and because she would be pissed if I didn't. She would tell me all the time about these stalkers that she had just accrued in her lifetime of poetry online, where people are just drawn to fall in love with her. There's nothing else you can do. And she would be so pissed at all the tribute poems written by her stalkers that she just didn't want anything to do with, and that tickled me to no end. And everyone's tribute is valid. Let me say that. I love every single one of them, but it's my deepest hurt right now is that I can't hear her read all the ones from poets that she didn't care anything about. Say, man, that guy didn't know shit, or that girl didn't know me at all. That's what I'm wanting. Does that make sense? I know I'm rambling a bit, but no, this is gorgeous. This was my second favorite of all the tributes, but I'm missing her unique critiques of everything, because she would say that this was all just totally unnecessary. And of course, that's not true. It is absolutely necessary, but I'm missing her sharpness, I guess.
Oh, thank you. And Laurent, I know you read it, but it's your turn to comment.
It is only about a woman who wanted her voice to carry over frozen fields beyond all vision and heartbreak. My eyes literally welled up with tears at the last stanza, and the poet's words filled me with an immense sadness as the image presented loneliness in an exquisitely painful way. This was great work.
Thank you, Laurent. Thank you so much. And now we're back to you, Katie.
Okay, my darling, just one second, because I know I had... There we are. I knew I had it. I'm way ahead of myself. Right. I read in your eyes The Saddest Lullaby by Eliza Way. And Gray, would you read this, please? Are you on mute, my dear?
Yeah, I am.
Yes.
Here I go. This is I Read in Your Eyes The Saddest Lullaby by Eliza Way. Ending in G minor and a coda that drags into the grave, a trail of autumn leaves, reddish gold, along a sidewalk covered with bluebirds, colored in chalk, and there I see a jump rope abandoned next to a driveway known for its broken car. Unhinged mailbox and windows always shut. A cancerous home, opening and closing without him. But the oak tree and the tire swing has his shadows and a pair of worn sneakers. A toolbox in the shed that has gone one too few nails next to a pile of posters. Missing, please call, and a string of numbers at the end. Hoping desperately for some to say, woman found at last. And if I were to take a broom and sweep the cobwebs hanging over your eyes, there will be a flurry of doves waiting for you upstairs on a rooftop full of stars and a song that can stitch together a shroud of sunflowers. And then I'll write a happy poem for your eulogy, and I imagined he'll be there too. End quote.
That was a good read. I really enjoyed this poem by Elsa. You know, I liked where, you know, she talks about an unhinged mailbox and windows always shut a cancerous home, opening and closing without him. You know, that feeling when you love somebody so much that it makes it so hard for you to take a breath with the heaviness of you missing that soulmate. And, you know, the thing, and especially this also, that one has, that has one too few nails next to a pile of posters, missing please call, a string of numbers at the end, hoping desperately for someone to say, woman found at last. You know, sometimes we can feel so lost that the only way we will be found is if we're in the arms of the person that we love the most. I wish her peace and happiness. What did you think about this poem, The Drip?
You know, of everything that we've read so far, the for some reason, the missing please call and woman found at last break my heart all over again. That waiting. I halfway thought maybe she faked it. Maybe she was just so tired of us that she was just going to sail off into the sunset and not tell a soul, waiting for someone to say, woman found at last. This, I struggle with poems that take me places specific, and this took me to a very specific place. So it was beautiful, and it hurt more than most.
Agreed. And Gray, thank you. And what did you think about the poem, Gray?
Yeah, you know, I thought it was touching. You know, it's very sad. You know, you're waiting for this phone call to say that woman is found at last and she'll never be there. And, you know, I thought it was very poetic in its stature. And, like, that can, on a rooftop full of stars and a song that can stitch together a shroud of sunflowers. And then I'll write a happy poem for your eulogy and imagine he'll be there too. It's just a haunting poem.
Thank you, Grace, and you did a wonderful job in reading, and we enjoyed the poem, Elsa. And now we're ready for our next poem. Katie?
Okay. It's not a poem without a haunting title. Then is it even a love song, love story, by Virginia Archer? And I think is it my turn to read? I don't know. Oh, Irish Rose.
Mm-hmm.
Irish Rose, would you like to read this?
She's not here anymore.
Okay. Well, then she won't be reading it. I'll do it. I'll be a good girl. I'll be a good girl and read this. Okay. I reach into my back pocket for one last love poem, blew off the dust and draped it over the chair in the corner. I don't know if there is another ode, another sonnet, another free verse kiss left. But I never met a song in the dark that I didn't fall in love with. The words, soft twang in G minor. I realize it's not a love poem unless the title is a poem in itself. A single line that let me know all the highs on the old banjo. And when the last of the ash from the smoking pile of a world blows away, I will know the last words from the last poem have already been immortalized. By Bandolin. End poem.
Fantastic read, Katie, and just love this poem, Virginia Archer. Let's get you some comments. What did you think about the poem, Laurent?
I really like this one. More than, well, I shouldn't say that. I don't like it more than anything else, but I certainly like it as much as anything else that I admired because of the way Virginia uses her words, draping her last love poem over a chair in the corner, which is an absolutely charming visual, not knowing if there's anything left inside to offer in the way of another sonnet or a free verse, but acknowledging that, as the poet says, but I never met a song in the dark that I didn't fall in love with, which is an equally charming statement. And I love the last stanza. It's terrific.
Agreed. I love that stanza too, Laura. Thank you. And what did you think, Jeremy?
Yeah, Banjo was the worst at titling poems. I always giggled at how she always opened her poems with those titles, and that reminded me of this tonight at this one. Guys, this has been a treat for me to connect with poets. That's what this is all about. This has been a very cathartic experience for me, and I really appreciate everyone contributing to this because this is about us. This is about our little community and about someone that touches all greatly. Love you, Banjo. You're going to stick with me for a long time, and all the words that were shared tonight, all the poems, all the contributions, they hit my heart, and that's why I'm here. So I just want to say thanks.
Thank you, Jeremy. And Laurent, Katie, you are next to comment.
I thought this was just lovely. If it's not a poem without a haunting title, then is it even a love poem? I mean, that is just so beautiful. And now that I hear Jeremy saying about the titles that were used before by Banjo, and I can understand where this is coming from. And it really is lovely speaking of somebody that you know has a little quirk that you like to share. And I thought that was perfect. I will know the last words from the last poem have already been immortalized by Banjo Lynn. Beautiful. Very well done. Thank you.
Thank you. And Gray, what did you think of the poem?
You did a beautiful read on it, Weaver. But, I liked it a lot. It was very poetic, I reached into my back pocket for one last love poem, blew off the dust, and draped it over the chair in the corner. I don't know if there's another ode or another sonnet or another free verse, kiss left, but I never met a song in the dark that didn't fall in love with. It's just a powerful poem on the subject of loving Banjolin as she was. So a beautiful write and a wonderful read, Kate.
Thank you, Gray. And Drip, would you like to make a comment?
I can only echo what everyone else has said and echo it in a voice considerably stupider than their own. So everything everyone else said, but in my own awful voice.
No, you're fine. Thank you, everyone. I want to thank Fill My Eyes for helping me set up this show. I want to thank Katie and Jeremy and Laurent and Gray, Irish Rose, Gress, The Drip, everybody that was hanging out in the group, Pam, Pee Wee, Bev, thank you so much for sharing this beautiful moment that we share with each other in regards to Banjo Lynn. Bless your heart, sweetie. May your wings take you to peace and happiness. Would anybody like to say anything else? Like to make a comment?
Congratulations on the show.
Yes,
thank
and I would
you,
like
Laurent.
To see. I would like to see how beautifully this has been organized.
And we'll see everyone tomorrow night. The poem for the
yes, ma'am. Thank you, everybody.
And thanks for a great job tonight. Wonderful, wonderful poetry and great reads, everybody. It was great to have you all here. Thanks.
Thank you, everybody. Love you guys.
Good night, everybody.
Sweet
Much
dreams,
love.
Everyone. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you.